Welcome to Charting New Paths in Pre-K through 12 Education, a podcast by Solution Tree. In our Reaching Summit 2024 series, we'll talk about the Summit on PLC at Work coming up in February. For this mini series, we invite some of the keynote speakers and presenters for this event to share their experiences, expertise, and valuable insights with you. Listen to this mini series and be inspired to add another tool in your toolbox of research-affirmed strategies once you explore and attend this event to improve student outcomes. I'm your host, Prisma Lopez Marin. Enjoy today's episode. Hello, everyone. In today's episode, we continue with a new mini-series, the Reaching Summit 2024 series. We'll be discussing the Summit on PLC at Work coming up on February 13th through the 15th of 2024. Yes, we are in the new year, and this event is taking place in Phoenix, Arizona. To learn more about the event, navigate to our website, solutiontree.com. Under the Events tab, go to On-Site Events and then click on the Summit on PLC at Work. All right, we are joined by one of the presenters for this event, Nicole Turner. Nicole is an educational coach and author with over 17 years of K-12 classroom and leadership experience. She has worked with thousands of educators, instructional coaches, and administrators across the United States through conferences and custom professional development sessions. And she also specializes in helping educators master their roles through hands-on learning activities. Nicole, thank you so much for joining us for this episode. We're so excited to have you here.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be on this podcast and to dive in and talk and chat. You know, I really love to chat with you.
Yes, you're so much fun. I just love your energy. So I'll get right into this question here. So the Summit on PLC at Work is coming up, as I've mentioned, and I'm excited to talk to you about it. This will be your first time presenting at this event. Is that right?
Yes, it is. It is a shocker
when I
got the invitation. But I am so excited to be there. I've been at many of the institutes. And so it's kind of like exciting to actually get to the summit and attend the full 3 days. I think it's going to be super exciting and so much learning happening.
Nice. So what are you looking forward to the most as a presenter?
Yes, as a presenter, I'm looking forward to meeting everyone and kind of just diving into the work of PLC and some of the work that I kind of do. And I kind of work with instructional coaches and administrators. And my focus really is taking them from kind of like how to work in that team PLCs, but then how to pull out individual teachers and kind of give them different types of support. Right. So that's kind of how my work kind of blends in with some of the PLC work that is happening. And so I'm excited to share the knowledge and to talk about my experiences and, of course, get to meet people from all over the country and maybe even the world and kind of help them to be successful educators.
So which you said you've been in the summits before, like this specific summit?
No. I've attended the other institutes. So I do the coaching institute that's coming up in April. And I've attended some of the other institutes in person as an attendee. So it's going to be exciting to actually get to the biggest summit that Solution Tree has.
One of the other presenters that was on here on the podcast said that it's kind of like the Grammys or the Emmys of the education sector. I thought that was so great.
Yes, I think it's going to be so amazing. And I'm so excited to get there and meet everyone and see everyone. It's going to be amazing.
Nice. So when you do presentations in front of educators, what do you expect from yourself? And then what do you await from your audience?
So what I expect from myself is just to share knowledge. You know, it's crazy because presenting for me is something that is easy. And I know that doesn't come for everyone. My husband, he at all. He's like, I'm so amazed at how you can just talk in front of people. And it's so easy for you. For him, he'll have to practice and he'll have to do a whole lot of things. So for me, just being lively, I am a lively person. I cannot stand boring professional development. I've sat in those for way too many years. So my sessions are always hype, pumped. I love music. And that's kind of, you know, for me, as far as people who attend my sessions, we are the number one thing that I want for them is for them to have a takeaway that they can implement the next day. And all of my professional developments come from that perspective. You're going to be able to leave the next day and be able to implement something right away. Otherwise, professional development kind of just goes to the wayside if you can't take it and actually put it in place. And so that is one of the biggest takeaways anyone attends any of my sessions. They're going to have, and they're going to have some fun and we're going to have some laughs. And that's kind of how my sessions are.
Nice. I want to go there. all right. So you are a K-12 educational coach, an author, professional development trainer, as well as founder and CEO of Simply Instructional Coaching. Tell us more about what you've seen in the field that inspired your first book with Solution Trees, Simply Instructional Coaching, Questions Asked and Answered from the Field.
Yeah, so that book is interesting. somewhere around 2016, I believe, I started a Facebook group for instructional coaches. I went onto Facebook and I was looking for a group, looking for somewhere because I was an instructional coach. And in my district, of course, there are a lot of instructional coaches in the district, but I was the only one in my building. And so what I wanted to do was to kind of get a community. And I was looking for some type of community outside of my district just so that I could see kind of what's happening in North Carolina versus what's happening in Indiana, different things like that. And so within about a month, there were over 500-600 people inside of that Facebook group. And it was completely like overwhelming. And so over the years, it was about maybe 2 years, people would ask questions in the Facebook group. It was very, very active, still is. Right now it's over about like 8,000 or 9,000 people in the group. Wow. And so people were asking questions and they were asking questions and they were asking questions. And what I noticed is that they were asking the same questions, and the questions that they were asking were kind of very foundational. And what I realized is that a lot of instructional coaches were not being trained. So there was no professional development for transitioning from a classroom to an instructional coaching position. Now, if you are wanting to be an administrator, you go to school to be an administrator. You want to be in a classroom, you go to school to be a classroom. You want to be a coach, you don't go to school to be a coach, right? And then a lot of administrators were like, oh, you were an amazing teacher. I want you to replicate yourself. Go tell Miss Johnson down the hall and go tell Miss Turner how to do what you did. And that was what they thought coaching was. And so when I started to notice that the questions were the same questions over and over again, I had on my iPhone, I had typed out the questions or the answers, and I was cutting and pasting to them. And finally, someone had said, watch, put this like in an ebook or something. And I was just like, oh yeah, that might be a great idea. And so I actually created the book before Solution Tree. I self-published the book and it sold about over 3,000 copies in about 4 different countries. And so that was interesting. And when I made the transition over to Solution Tree, we wanted to do some work and we revised it. So the book that Solution Tree has published is the second, the revised edition is the updated edition of that book. And it is better than ever. So you guys could, because I've learned, you know, from the first time that I published it to the time that I have, that I republished it with Solution Tree, it has definitely changed and transformed just based on my experiences. And kind of, you know, going through there is a whole model. And then we have a couple of more books with Solution Tree coming out. So that just takes it to the next level. So you have Simply Instructional Coaching. The Planner goes along with that. And then we'll have the Simple Blueprint coming out soon, hopefully this year.
Wait, what? There's another book coming? Just started with this one.
Definitely. We got some more books coming. There's so much work to be done. for instructional coaches, like I mentioned earlier, so many times we are transitioned into that role and we don't get the support or the knowledge that we need. Working with adults is completely different than working with children, but there are still some aspects in which you can take some of the things that you did in the classroom and you can translate that when working with teachers. But there are so many holes in it. So for instance, administrators don't really know how to create a culture for coaching, right? They kind of struggle a little bit where they may think that the coach is just a semi-administrator. When, you know, you don't have that. They've never given a vision of what their role is, and they've never communicated with their coach. So, you know, that's a whole idea within itself. But many times instructional coaches don't know how to set up their room. They don't know how to transition and create a schedule. They don't know how to do a lot of those things that are just foundational components in transitioning that role. And that is where the book came in. It answers a lot of those questions to get those instructional coaches to transition from being in a classroom, giving a schedule, telling what to do, to having a little bit more freedom kind of with their day and their schedule, but really being effective in communicating and working with teachers.
One of the questions that I did have, aside from what we have here planned, was you said, so not every school has an instructional coach?
Not every school has an instructional coach, no. Instructional coaching normally is paid for out of title funds or is paid for out of your professional development funding, because professional instructional coaching is actually a professional development. And so what it is, it's really helping teachers one-on-one or helping teachers in group settings to become better. It's their professional development. And so some schools are underfunded, right? And some schools don't have that. It's really transitioning to the instructional coaching model. It's a model of school improvement. And so a lot of schools don't have instructional coaches. And sometimes there are principals that have to be the coach. They have to help and work with the teacher, and they have to evaluate the teacher. So instructional coaches are normally non-evaluative. They're non-evaluative help. And so they are the professional development. And so that's why a lot of schools don't have them. There are some districts when you have a smaller districts, like a lot of rural districts, there'll be 1 to 2 instructional coaches for the entire district. And so if you have maybe 4 buildings in the entire district, you may have 2 coaches. And those coaches have to serve all of those teachers. And it's very hard to decipher who you're going to work with, how you're going to work with them, and really be able to give them the support, those teachers, the support that they need. A lot of research is out there where instructional coaching is the model that will help with teacher retention. So we're looking at a lot of those different models now. We have Joyce Showers, Joyce and Showers. There's a article out there, a study, where it kind of talks a lot about instructional coaching and the effectiveness behind it. Jim Knight does a lot of research behind the effectiveness of instructional coaching. And so with those 2 studies and researches out there, we know that this is a model that works in buildings, but we have to have everyone trained and everyone to understand the correct way. There are a lot of people who hire instructional coaches and say, hey, we're going to use the instructional coaching model, but don't know how to utilize their coach. Like I said earlier, they just make them an administrator, right? They just make them a semi-administrator. And so they don't understand what coaching is and how to utilize the model. So yes, there are a lot of school districts that don't have coaches out there. And so we are looking at the research, we are looking at the data, and we are pushing forward to make sure that we start to train instructional coaches and administrators on how to implement the coaching model in an efficient way. Also, instructional coaching is very fluid. So even within the same district, every coach may do something different because it's based on the climate and culture of that building. And so they may do something different as well. And so it's just a position that's very fluid. And so it's very, you know, you really don't know what you're going to do until you get some type of clarity. And we talk about that in Simply Instructional Coaching and in the upcoming Simple Blueprint book.
Nice. So isn't it more productive to actually have an instructional coach rather than having a principal be the person to do that? Because if they're also the evaluator, isn't that a little biased because they're the one who supposedly trained them? And so therefore they should be like amazing because they trained them. I don't know if that makes sense.
Absolutely. It does make sense. And that can be controversial. Yes. A lot of people struggle with administrators being the evaluator and the coach, and having a coach does help in that instance. However, you need to make sure that your coach is actually working with teachers and not doing just the administrative work. And so that's where the struggle becomes. That's why we are so adamant about making sure that districts and administrators and coaches really understand the role of a coach and really understand the process and the elements of what goes into instructional coaching so that it can become an effective model and not be just, you know, a coach just be another administrator.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's so interesting. That's like a whole other, let me get back to my questions here. So at the summit, you will deliver a morning breakout session on day 2 titled Unlocking Potential in Your PLC, Building Teacher Efficacy Through Skill-Based Coaching. So in your book, Simply Instructional Coaching, in one of your chapters, you focus on building relationships and trust with teachers. What strategies from this chapter will you align with your session?
So building trust with teachers is really about making sure that you take some time to get to know them, but also allow them to understand that you're there to support them. A lot of times they don't really understand what your role is as an instructional coach. And so in the book, I really talk about different ways, like I do cupcakes with coach and, you know, different things like that I do at the beginning of the year to really start to build that trust. In this particular session, we're going to dive deeper into talking about how you would work with and coach teams, right? How you're going to coach people in teams in your PLC collaborative teams, right? But then how are you going to identify teachers that you're going to then work with one-on-one? Because we know that, yes, as we can work with them in a small group, we do need to pull out and give people individualized help. It's kind of like I always put it, you know, when you're in the classroom and you do a small group instruction or you do a whole group instruction and then you'll do a small group instruction. And when you are doing some reteaching in small group, you may notice that you may have two students that really need to work on one particular skill. And then you pull them individually and you reiterate how to build that skill. Then they go back to that small group. Then you can go back to that whole group instruction. And so that's the way that we kind of look at this. Skill-based, which means that we are looking at the different skills in which teachers really need to have in order to be great or effective in their role. I created this thing called the core four pillars. They're called the simple core four pillars. And the simple core four pillars are those foundational pieces that in any classroom, anywhere, it's organization, management culture, understanding content, and instructional execution. And so those four areas, that is where we're then looking at that, that focus, those skill-based ways in which we're going to then support teachers in those four areas. And so that's where we're going to say, hey, inside of our collaborative teams, we may be talking about data. We may be talking about collaborative assessments. We may be talking about, you know, all of that. But then I may have one teacher that's focusing on instructional execution. They're struggling in how to teach. That's when I'm going to step in and I'm going to model with that teacher. So I'm going to model with that individual teacher. I'm not going to model with the whole entire team or the whole entire group. And so that's where that skill-based coaching comes in. It's really looking at that collaborative team that we're already doing in PLC, but now we're leveling up a little bit more to give those teachers that individual help for them to become great. You know, they're going from good to great at that particular point. And so that's where that's, I believe, is one of the missing links. And so that's where my role or my work kind of comes into that PLC model. One thing that I've learned in my role as an instructional coach, I did instructional coaching for about 8 years in my district, all the way from district coaching, where I worked with building coaches. I was their coach. And then where I was the actual coach in the building working with teachers. And in my field or my experience, I've always worked with, you know, new, struggling, or just teachers who came from different certifications, like, you know, a lot of certification programs. And so, or uncertified teachers, long-term subs and different things like that. And so those teachers really needed to understand some of the things that you just don't know. Like, there are a lot of things that you just don't know. And especially, like, even if you are a new teacher, everything you learn in theory and in school goes out the door when you're looking for practical work, right? So when you're standing in front of a group of kids and those kiddos, like, everyone takes the Maslow's laws, right? So we all know we took ed psych, and we know that students have to feel safe and they need to be fed and, you know, all of those types of things. But when you're standing in front of a classroom and you have 30 kids and they're all screaming, they're yelling, they're not talking, they're throwing paper, like all of that, like, you, in your mind, you don't go and say, okay, are they fed? Okay, do they feel safe? Okay, before you start to teach, right? You don't do any of those things. There's some things that you have to then command some type of respect and order in the classroom so that learning can happen. So those skills don't necessarily translate from, you know, theory to practice, right? And so an instructional coach can help you start to put those practical components in place that will make the change and set that foundation for learning in the classroom. And so a lot of those teachers need that help. Then you have some of your teachers that have been teaching for 20, 30 years, and they're excellent and amazing teachers, but they're ready to level up and bring up the rigor in the classroom and set those higher expectations. And so having another set of eyes and ears, an external set of eyes and ears to be able to give you feedback really, really, really makes a difference when it comes for teaching. And so that's where an instructional coach comes into play.
Because it's an objective perspective. You're not, you don't come with your own set of things that you know of this culture of this school. You come in ready to help them, guide them so that they're ready to go. That's awesome.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the whole point is to not create you in the classroom, but to be able to help a teacher to become them. You know, you want to bring out the best in them. So that they can be an amazing teacher. I give an example all the time where I was a partner teacher with, I did math and science, and she did ELA and social studies, and we would change class. Now, if anyone knows me, they know I am loud. I am fun. I am super hype. At 7 a.m, I'm like, what's up? Hello? What's happening, y'all? You know, like all of that. I'm playing music. We getting some things going. That's just how my classroom ran. Now, she was very soft, very quiet, very monotone, but I mean, all of that. But we had the same group of kids. And even though we had the same group of kids, we would switch kids. My students would be very quiet, very calm, very relaxed in her class. When they came to my class, they were hype and ready to go. It was a really good mix because we created our own cultures. And that particular year, we really, really got amazing I-STEP scores. And our kids excelled. We had some students that had never passed their state exam ever passed that year. And our principal that year actually got an award for having like the highest gains in our grade level that year. And I say all of that to just say that as an instructional coach, we are there to pull out the best in that teacher to create the climate and culture that's best for that teacher. Now, I'm a loud and fun teacher, but if I'm going to be working with a teacher that's not like me, I'm still going to help him or her become the best of who they want to be. Not necessarily for me to say, hey, you need to play this kind of music or you need to be loud like me. Like, you don't need to do that. Our support system is really to just help them to become the best teacher that they are.
I love that. It's so good. It's just within their own parameters. That's good. Yeah. So also on day two, you will give an afternoon breakout session titled Bridging Gaps, Building Strengths, Coaching Strategies for Tier 2, Tier 3 Teachers in a PLC. What can people expect from this breakout?
It's just going to, we're going to dive deeper into what I was talking about in my concurrent keynote session. And we're just going to actually look at the strategies and how to implement and what to do. So kind of like in that first session, I'm going to give you a lot of information, kind of give you the background, take you through a journey of understanding that. And then if you come into the breakout session, now we're going to talk about strategies, how to implement, and you'll walk away with a plan for the next day.
So they better do both of them.
Absolutely.
Nice. So what are some of the misconceptions that you think some people have about instructional coaching? And we kind of did talk a little bit about that earlier.
Yeah, just some of the misconceptions are, what is it that coaches do? That we do nothing all day, that we're just sitting back in an office, just relaxing. No. That doesn't happen. Normally we're overwhelmed and we just have a lot going on. And so that is what's super, you know, important for people to understand. Instructional coaches really work really hard and they're there to support teachers. A lot of times people think that instructional coaches are just another administrator and that they are working through, you know, that whole process. And that's not it either. So that's the exciting part. For people to get to learn about in Simply Instructional Coaching, exactly what the role of a coach is.
So another question here we have is that you've stated before, and I do love this quote is in here. So that instructional coaches sometimes become the Olivia Pope of their building. What do you mean by that? And for those of you who don't know who Olivia Pope is, go watch the show. Just Google Olivia Pope.
Yes. When I was at the Coaching Institute last year, or earlier this year, I really told them that instructional coaches sometimes do become the Olivia Pope. And Olivia Pope, she's the fixer, right? She's the one who comes in, she's behind the scenes, right? No one knows who she is and what she does, but she comes in, she fixes things, she makes things happen, she puts out the fires, she makes everything run smoothly, steps in, and then steps away. And so what that means is that, like I was saying earlier, sometimes administrators think that an instructional coach is the person that they call to fix everything in the building. There's no sub. Oh, call Nicole. There's no, I have a report due downtown for the district office. Oh, Nicole can help write that report. Oh, I have a teacher that's going to be out and they're going to leave. Oh, I have a computer problem. Oh, my students can't log in. Oh, that all happens. And then that takes away from us being able to get into the classrooms to do those snapshots. To go in and to really sit down with teachers and have conversations to help them do those content planning meetings, to attend those collaborative team meetings, to support all of those things. Those tasks end up taking us away. We may have, if they have a student that's, the behavior specialist can't get to them or they're struggling in the classroom, then the teacher is going to call us or the administrator is going to call us. And then I'm going to have a trail of 2 to 3 kiddos that are stressed out and can't get in the classroom because I don't have students. And a lot of times that is what instructional coaches end up doing. What I say is that instructional coaches must impact instruction. And so impacting instruction means that I'm working directly with the teacher that's directly working with students. And so if I can help that teacher and build that teacher's toolkit, that ultimately will help them to be able to increase the learning that's happening in the classroom. If a classroom is out of control and the classroom management is all over the place, then if I'm helping the teacher to get that classroom management under control, I'm going to impact instruction because where there's no clarity or classroom management, then no instruction is happening in that classroom. And so that's how I need to impact instruction. And so being Olivia Pope in the building, being the person who's a fixer, being the person who shows up to just create and solve every problem does not directly impact instruction. And so that's what we have to move away from. And so that becomes the struggle with our instructional coaches. If you've not sat down with the principal and you and the principal has not created a vision for the role of an instructional coach, then that's what happens. If you don't have a system for coaching in place, and the new book that's coming out, The Simple Blueprint, is the system for instructional coaching. It is SIMPLE, and it's SIM, which is your foundational skills, Set the vision, introduce your role, and make a plan for organization. Those are the foundational components of coaching. And then you have the work of coaching, which is the PLE. So you're going to provide strategic support, which is what I'm talking about at the PLC Summit, where we are going to tier our teachers. We're going to work with those teachers in those collaborative team meetings, and then we're going to tier them out, and we're going to give them individualized help through those skills, through the simple core four pillars. And then we're going to launch coaching cycles where we're going to actually coach. So when we look at those four pillars, we have two pillars that we're going to do coaching cycles, one pillar where we're going to do a lot of content planning, and then one pillar where we're going to help teachers to become organized. In the pillar one, where we talk about that organization, that is where we're setting a foundation and building relationships with our teachers. And so it just becomes a trajectory where we start to work with those teachers through the coaching cycles. And we talk about that. And then the E, which is engaging in professional learning. Professional learning doesn't have to be a sit or get, right? It could be where you are including peer learning, where you are doing those collaborative teams, where you are doing some presenting, where you are connecting teachers. I call them small groups, where we are connecting teachers in those small groups, and then they are looking at a rubric and helping each other and giving each other feedback. So we really talk about that. That's a system for coaching. And when you put a system for coaching in place, then you're less likely to become Olivia Pope, because you have that clarity that's happening. You understand what it is that your role is. The teacher is, the administrator is doing a simple shift. I call it, it's a simple shift, and simple for the simple shift is creating that culture in the building. A lot of buildings where through my work with Solution Tree, I've been sent out all over the country now to kind of work with schools and school districts. And what I've learned is that a lot of school districts who do have a multitude of coaches, they only coach new, uncertified, and struggling teachers. They don't coach teachers who are amazing in the classroom, because they're only focused on those teachers that need help immediately. And so what's happening is that we're creating a culture where coaching is looked upon and frowned upon and feeling punitive, right? They don't know. And so when we talk about that S of setting the vision, we're talking about making the shift to create that culture. And then instructional coaches actually getting clarity on their role. And so that's where the administrator and that really sit down, they have that conversation. And then that's where the foundation happens. And then we can introduce our role to the staff, and everyone knows in the building we're creating that culture. And that's where we alleviate becoming Olivia Pope in the building.
Yes, I like that. I mean, it is structure, it is process, but it will happen if these steps are taken, if this purpose and more than anything, the actual intention of both parties to come together as a community. That's so exciting. All right. So as I mentioned before, you have a vast experience in the K-12 education sector. You are a K-6 licensed elementary teacher in the state of Indiana, which we're Woo-hoo! Here. I know. Some people are like, where is Indiana? It's a state in the United States. So also you're a K-12 admin licensed all buildings in the state of Indiana. You are also a business owner, a published author, a speaker, a consultant, the creator of the Simply Instructional Coaching Planner, and also the Simply Instructional Coaching Hub. So I actually can't go on and on. You could hang your hat on any number of specialties within education. What is it about coaching that really sparked your passion?
So let's see. Love the classroom. It was amazing. And when I became a teacher, I became a teacher where it was a surplus, like completely opposite of what's happening right now, but it was a surplus. I got laid off every single year. My first 6 to 10 years of coaching, being a teacher, I never was in the same building every year. Like, it was crazy. I taught almost all grade levels K-6. And then I even went into some high school and did some of that. I knew at some point in there, I wanted to make an impact much larger than my classroom. And so because of that, I got laid off 1 year, or RIFT, whatever you want to call it. They brought us back into something that was called a cadre. And so basically we were kind of like licensed subs, right? Well, we went into the classroom, we relieved teachers, they went to professional development, they came back and we went away. And so that's kind of what happened. And then I got a call from downtown where someone had said, hey, Nicole is great. We think that she would be an amazing coach. Bring her down here. And so I got there and that's what she told me. Oh, the people think you're great. They think we'll make an amazing coach. We have this new position. We kind of talked and chatted. And then she told me where I was going the next day. And I was like, okay, cool. But no one knew what it is I was supposed to do. The principal didn't really know. They just was like, oh, okay, you're a coach in my building. Do what you do. My district coach didn't really know. He gave me a couple of things that I needed to do. And there was really no direction. And I knew that I wanted to kind of do more. And so in that position, I kind of just explored with coaching. At that particular time, of course, coaching was a step stool, just a step to administration. And so I said, oh, I want to be a principal, because I knew I wanted to make a difference bigger than just being in the classroom. And so I went into an administrative role for a couple of years, and I had little ones. I was a single mom then, and I had little babies. And I remember it being midnight, and they were in my office, and they were all on sleeping bags, and I was preparing for testing for the next day. And at that particular point, I was like, am I really making the impact that I really want to make on instruction? And so I kind of did, you know, a little bit of thinking and reflecting, and I was happiest when I was a coach. I was happy. I found myself, even in my administrative role, and even though I had two instructional coaches in the building where I was an administrator, I still found myself coaching and working with those coaches and working with our Title I team and coaching our teachers, even though we had coaches. And that's when I knew that my true calling was for me to be an instructional coach. And so I went back into that role. I went back into a district coaching position after that administrative role. And I was so excited and so ecstatic about the position that I was going back in. And so that's where I live. That's where I stayed. And that is, I really believe that this is more about passion and purpose of my life than it is about anything else. And so I don't know if many people believe in passion and purpose, or if they, you know, have found that within themselves. But for me, that I truly believe is where I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to be doing. And it is amazing. It's like that high feeling when I am working with teachers and I can see the changes happening. And when I work with the district and I go into their district, and then, you know, I train their coaches on the system for coaching. They start to implement that system. And then when I come back to do my follow-up and my embedded coaching opportunities, I see changes happening and I see classrooms happening. And I know that that's impacting those students. And so that's where I know that this is truly passion and purpose for me. And so that's the best opportunity. And that's kind of why I live in that coaching thing. I think it's just who I am. It's just me.
I mean, in all of those roles, it doesn't matter. Just, I feel like you're, I met you for 2 seconds and I would literally want you to be like a mentor to me, or also like just, you know, learn more from you because you have such a passion for education. And you can see it. It's very clear. I don't have to know you for several years to know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely have a passion for it. So I want our babies to grow and learn and do more. But not only that, I want our teachers to grow and feel valued, and for them to actually enjoy what they went to school for. They had some type of calling or passion, because, you know, teaching is a calling. Like, of course, we can learn the different strategies of teaching, but if you don't have a true passion for this work, it will not work out for you at all.
It is more of a vocation, I think, education is, being a teacher, because you really want to make an impact, such as yourselves. You also mentioned that you wanted to make an impact, and you have in whichever scale or whichever step that you were in, whether you were a teacher or you were admin or where you are now, you've made such a stride of like you're a trailblazer for all of those positions because you've made an impact even within those. Like when you were talking about purpose and like, I believe that 100% personally, like I know it's a whole thing we can get into, but like, I truly do believe in your own purpose or your given purpose or the purpose that you find eventually in life. So it's not always the first venture that you go into.
Yep. That's so true. I believe
that. Well, okay. We have one more question here. So actually, is there anything else you would like to leave us with on what people can expect from the 2024 summit?
For me, I don't know, but y'all come and see me. We're going to have some fun.
There you go.
We're going to have some fun. We're going to have some learning. You're going to have some strategies. You're going to take them back. You're going to make an impact, on your building, on your students, on your teachers, whether you're an administrator, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a coach. I know that there are some powerful speakers there. I know like Dr. Muhammad will be there. I know that Marsha Tate will be there. I mean, those are two people that I've actually seen in person present, you know, and they both are amazing. Just those two. And then I know there are so many more that are going to be there. I think Tina Bogren will be there, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to see her because she talks a lot about wellness for coaches and coaching, you know, wellness for teachers. And so I'm really excited as to how I can integrate some of that into my work. There are just so many. Mike Meadows will be there. Like, I just know there's so many people that are going to be there. And I know that you're going to learn so much. And it's just next level. And so I think that it's not just what I've taken away from the Solution Tree Institutes that I've attended so far. It's not just a regurgitation of information, but it's action steps of things that you can actually implement and go and put into place. There's so many resources. We have the book. We have professional development. You can sign up and see all about all those things. And so I know that if you attend the summit, especially in my sessions, I can speak personally from mine. You're going to take away and have those things to be put in place. But because I attended some of these previous sessions, then I know that you're going to have so much more added to your toolkit when you leave.
You've done so much, and it's just incredible to see that. It doesn't faze you. Like you just, it just looks like you just came out of like college and you're ready to go, but you still have so much energy and so much happiness and passion for what you do, but then also for our teachers. And more than anything, that's what I feel like we need a lot of.
Yes. And especially doing right now where teachers are really struggling in the classroom. There's a lot added to their plate. There's a ton of things that they're going through. We really need to empower those teachers and make them feel valued and to also expand their knowledge so that they can actually, you know, teach in the correct way and looking at a lot of the data that's out there and utilizing that to help to guide us, looking at the, you know, the different science, the different research and helping it to guide us in the classroom so we can make an impact on our next generation.
Wonderful. Well, it has been so great to talk to you, to learn more about you, as well as having this encouraging conversation, to learn more about the Summit on PLC at Work, and then also to learn more about Simply Instructional Coaching. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for inviting me.
Now, this event is looking as another tool for your toolbox with teaching, in addition to learning from Nicole Turner and other presenters. You will be able to take home their strategies and research by visiting the on-site bookstore that will be at this event. We offer exclusive deals only for our event attendees, and there will be a surprise. Well, there will be surprise new releases or two. So if you don't want to cram a whole bunch of books in your luggage, we also offer free shipping when you purchase 5 or more books. Learn more by stopping by the bookstore at the summit. Now, just as a reminder, the summit we're talking about is the Summit on PLC at Work, which is coming up on February 13th through the 15th of 2024. Yes, we are in the new year, and this event is taking place in Phoenix, Arizona. To learn more about this event, navigate to our website, solutiontree.com. Under the events tab, go to on-site events and then click on the Summit on PLC at Work. Now, for our sponsor message here at Solution Tree, we share your vision to transform education to ensure learning for all, and we can help you make this vision a reality. No other professional learning company provides our unique blend of research-based, results-driven services that improve learning outcomes for students. All right, we appreciate you tuning in. Make sure to navigate to our website, solutiontree.com/podcast, to listen to our other episodes. There you can subscribe to our podcast today on your favorite podcast app. Also, navigate to our Solution Tree YouTube channel to like our episodes and also to subscribe to the channel. This has been your host, Prisma Lopez Marin. Thank you for joining us for Charting New Paths in Pre-K through 12 Education.